This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in Ripple Effect. You already know what it is and you already know the vibes. Listen, shout out to all the supporters. I appreciate the new channels moving great. Please subscribe. Please listen. Please share it. Get everybody's opinion. I want to see, you know, more growth, you know. We're going to have some sponsors coming in soon, just waiting in to hear the direction that they want to go in, and we're going to do a ton of collaborations. There's also going to be some music. I already told you about Love, if you've been paying attention. Let's keep it going, but we need to talk, right? So let's have a conversation about these Nets, right? So you know how they say hurt people? Well, that's kind of what the Nets were doing when they decided to go after the Celtics. Like, everything's all fair in competition, right? Everybody's looking for that edge going into the next season, especially when your franchise is publicly a mess. I can't say what's going on privately. Maybe someone can make some sense of this in their inner circles, meaning Kyrie, KD, you know, the Ben Simmons camp, Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, Steve Nash. I mean, but shout out to Andre Drummond, you know, Seth Curry, being true professionals and kind of just letting everything just kind of run its course and still being a professional and keeping it classy, because I can't imagine being in that locker room, to be honest with you. But anyway, to go back to the original statement that I had made about hurting people, right? So to attack the Celtics the way they did, understanding their weaknesses, right? What is the Celtics' biggest weakness, right, that they were just at least publicly able to overcome? It's been the Tatum versus Jaylen Brown, right? Now, they seem to come together. Jaylen Brown seemed to take in a back seat, kind of let Tatum do his thing, you know what I mean? Sort of like the Dwayne Wade, LeBron James situation, just on a much smaller scale, obviously, but you know, the same schematically, sort of the same kind of thing. But here's the thing, Jaylen Brown is the one that kind of rose to the occasion and was definitely the reason why they were even a threat, even though you already know how I felt about it. But it was Jaylen Brown. Like, yeah, he definitely made his mistakes, but I kind of felt like he put himself out there. Like, he laid it all out there. You know, whatever mistakes that he made, over dribbling, you know, being too aggressive in the paint, right, and seeming to turn the ball over, seeming to dribble the ball off his feet, all these different things. But he was out there. He was shining. He was balling. He was doing his thing. Like, no matter what, you wasn't going to say that he didn't have his imprint on the game, because that's pretty much what he did, and you got to respect him for it. And let's face it, Tatum, as much as I love the guy, I mean his ceiling still has room to grow. Obviously, I don't know what was wrong with him. I don't know if it was a shoulder injury, you know, but I appreciate not making excuses, just kind of say, you know what, had a bad series, had a bad, you know, run. I don't know if he used up all his energy in that first round with the Nets, because he definitely held his own, outplayed Kevin Durant. But it's going to be interesting going forward, because what I meant by all that was they, meaning the Celtics, Brad Stevens, right, the GM, president, pretty much put Jaylen Brown on the trade block, right? Because anybody who has it, the slightest chance to get Kevin Durant, you're going to do anything to do it, right? I mean, not anything, though, because they wasn't willing to put up Jason Tatum. Now, Jason Tatum, that was a whole nother story. They were like, nope, this is our guy. But Jaylen Brown, yeah, you could have him. Yeah, the guy that pretty much, you know, laid it out on the line for us, you know, took over that head position that he kind of was taking a backseat, you know, to after pretty much Christmas break. So that's all interesting, because I would love to really know how does Jaylen Brown really feel about that. I mean, we saw a little tweet, but it's not enough for me, because it just still leaves too much for interpretation. Like, I kind of want to know straight up, like, listen, obviously that had to have been a blow to the ego, right? After everything that you've done, you thought, maybe, all right, you could trade everybody else, but Jaylen Brown and maybe Tatum, those would be the two that you wouldn't want to trade. But apparently it was just Jason Tatum. We're not touching him. Jaylen Brown, oh, yeah. Just offered him up, like, no problem, right? And I don't think the Nets were ever really serious about that. This is what I mean about, like, hurt people, like, hurting people. I don't think the Nets were ever really serious about it. You know what I mean? I heard other people mention it. But I feel like it just runs deeper than that. It's just, it was definitely just an attack on their weakness. Understanding the Nets don't know what the heck is going to be going on. But at the same time, they caused trouble with the Celtics for no reason. Because Kevin Durant's not going anywhere, right? He's still under contract, right? Yes, he did ask for a trade, but I don't see that happening. I just, that trade didn't really make any sense to me. And as you can see, what, we're only a couple weeks removed and nothing. It's pretty much dead. We didn't even hear anything else about it. And then today, I bring this up now. I waited because I feel like if you speak every time the Nets decide to do something, you're literally going to be talking about the Nets every day. And no offense, but kind of like the Lakers, I don't want to be talking about them all day. Same thing with the Cowboys. You know, I'll leave that for other networks to do. I'm not really trying to talk about the same franchise every single time I come out to talk to you guys. I mean, if you guys have a specific thing that you want to talk about and it happens to be your team, it could be the Nets, it could be the Cowboys, the Lakers. Okay, cool. We could talk about it. We can talk about it. I'm not against it. I'm just saying I'm not going to come out here and talk to you guys every day, every time, you know, Kyrie Irving changed his mind. Like I said, I'd be on here. I don't think I would stop being on here. I think there would just, it would just be, have to be ongoing. I would have to have cameras following me around all the time. And come on, who are we kidding? Like, that's not going to happen. But anyway, so the fact that all this stuff is going on, and like I said, I brought this all up today, and I waited because I knew something else big was going to happen. And sure enough, Kevin Durant, not only just what, maybe 2 hours ago or maybe an hour ago, is saying, if you don't, you know, fire Steve Nash, then, like, I want to be traded. So that's what the trade request is. So when he said he wanted to be traded before, was the ultimatum in there and it just never was, you know, out there publicly for us to talk about? Or was he just saying, you know, I just want to be traded. I don't want to hear nothing else. And then all of a sudden, you know, you wasn't able to hear anything back, right? No real trade request besides, you know, the one I just told you about with the Celtics. And, you know, everything just dies down. And all of a sudden, it's an ultimatum. And it's funny because, you know, everybody, you know, everybody's fandom is different, right? And if you're a Nets fan, you're tired for a lot of reasons. And understandably so, because, you know, when you assembled these guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys thought you'd be bragging right now, kind of like how the Warriors are, you know, with a championship, right? How we made it all work. And, you know, how Kyrie didn't need LeBron and how KD didn't need Steph. Like, I get it, you know? I mean, that's another type of Cinderella story, I guess. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm all for players being businessmen and handling themselves accordingly. You understand what I'm saying? Like, understand that you're a part of something, but you're also, you know, your own brand. And that is to be much respected. And the NBA's definitely come a lot, you know, a long way in in terms of players actually having control of their destiny, right? Of their futures. Because that's one of the things we used to hate that, right? We used to hate how, you know, guys would get tied up into franchises and never win a ring and trying to be loyal and it's just not working out, or franchises just not paying a guy and then they get injured and then, you know, it just ends up being one of these like 30 for 30s and it's just, you know, bad business. I totally get it, but like I said before, we live in a world of extremes, right? We need to find the middle. Because everybody on a team trying to do whatever it is they want to do, that's not a team, is it? It's just a bunch of talented individuals, you know? Sure, you'll sell seats, I guess, if one of y'all decide to play. I mean, I don't know what's going on for next season, but I just don't see, like, how this is a smart business move for any of you business guys. Like, please understand, like, how does any of this make sense? You guys are just wildly inconsistent. You know, you guys are very talented at your craft. Everybody just wants to see you guys play. You know, I understand that you have certain terms and certain, you know, things that you feel that are afforded to you and in a privileged sort of way. And to some degree, I do agree with you. But to handle it the way it's been handled, I mean, one of y'all got to take some accountability and at least say, you know what? We messed up. This wasn't what we had planned, but this is how we turned out. You know what I mean? And then what are you going to do going forward? Because, I don't know, KD has a podcast. I mean, I would like for him to explain, like, have an episode unfiltered. I mean, maybe you can't at the moment because maybe there's just too many things going on. But even if you don't have it right now, just at some point, just explain how any of this is good business. That's it. Just explain how it's good business. And if you can somehow explain that and it's logical, nothing else for me to say. But at the end of the day, it's like, I just don't understand how guys are just not being held accountable. And that's part of being businessmen or just businessmen and women or, you know, just being in business in general. You have to be held accountable. You have to understand that when things go awry or things go unplanned, you the very least acknowledge it. I mean, this is not really affecting me or really anybody else unless you're a fan of the Nets, right? And the people that, you know, you say that you care about, your fans, people who come and spend all this money to come see you play or get all excited because now you're playing in their hometown, but they never really seen you guys play. I mean, those are the people who you really held accountable for. I mean, unless you don't care, and then that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I think at some point you should acknowledge that. You should say, hey, listen, you know, this is what we had in mind. Players are not really treated, you know, fairly when it comes to these business deals. And we can understand that because that is true. Check. Okay. And just, but this is not exactly what we had in mind, you know, with the injuries, and we understand with the mandates and different things that went on. We understand that. But right now, you just have to just acknowledge that. Just for everybody to have some sort of peace. Because I can tell you right now, I know a lot of Nets fans. And for all you Nets fans out there, I see the frustration. I hear it. I mean, people are in my DMs wanting to talk about the Nets all the time. I put up posts on Facebook and people want to talk about it. And rightfully so. You guys are upset. You guys have legitimate claims. Even when you... when we talk about KD and his, you know, I just can't wrap my mind around, like, how we've gotten to the point where he really said it's going to be Steve Nash or me. Like, you really gave the Nets organization an ultimatum after everything that the Nets organization has been through. I don't think I've ever felt bad for an organization, like, period, really. But I feel bad for the Nets organization, really, because what do you even say to that? Should Nash have been hired in the first place? I'll be the first to tell you, no. I've had other coaches in mind for that organization. I have a coach right now that's, you know, that I've had in mind. But at the end of the day, it's like the organization felt like Steve Nash was the one. KD and Kyrie, well, I don't know if Kyrie signed off on it, right? Because he's the one who pretty much said that KD and himself can coach themselves. Okay? But KD signed off on it, right? And now you don't want him? Like, that's just the way you do him after that season? And then you guys want to have all these excuses about why you didn't play and all these different things about injuries and mandates and all these in the acquisitions of, you know, Ben Simmons and how James Harden left. And so I get it. So when it's convenient for you to sit there and say, you know what, it didn't work out because of all these, you know, these outliers, all these things that were, you know, all these variables that were never expected, but they popped up and we had to deal with it accordingly the best way we could, you know, while being, you know, truthful to ourselves or whatever. But why isn't Steve Nash given that same, you know, like, credit? Like, why isn't he given that same leeway? And once again, I'm not advocating for him. I'm not the one. I wouldn't have signed off on him, but you guys did. So I'm just trying to understand why you would give up on a guy, understanding all these different variables that were thrown at you guys as well as Steve Nash. And now all of a sudden he's a bad coach after one season. After one season, Joe Tsai, Sean Marks is supposed to make the decision to get rid of him after you guys signed off on him. Like, think about that for a second. Yeah, did he make a lot of mistakes in keeping, you know, Blake Griffin on the bench and, you know, having Andre Drummond and all these different, like, all these moving parts, you know. And Seth, I don't know why he didn't have the playing time that he had. I mean, Seth Curry is a starter. Crazy. Like, did I like his coaching style? No. But can we honestly say we really got a real feel for Steve Nash's coaching style amidst all the different variables that we spoke about? But now all of a sudden, if we get rid of Steve Nash and everything is good, you get Kyrie because he opted in. KD still has 4 years left on his deal. Like, who else do you have in mind? Are you just going to keep going through coaches? Like, this is why you have to, this levels to this, right? So, do you want your great players, superstar players, especially future Hall of Fame players, to have some sort of insight, some sort of, you know, input when it comes to your organization or the future of your organization, especially if you would like them to be the future of your organization? Yes. I think that just kind of goes without saying. But at the same time, it just seems like they're on the boardroom. Like, they're into too many intimate details of your organization that you still have to have long before they're even here. Kyrie's even suggested about maybe not even playing in the NBA at some point, you know, and maybe playing overseas and inspiring kids and all that. And that's phenomenal, right? But we're the Brooklyn Nets. Like, we ain't thinking about that. We have to think about the future of this organization and the direction that we're headed into. Right? Because you still want life after your, you know, future Hall of Famers, right? You still want life, right? I mean, it's just a mess. Too many decision making, you know, among players. Like, what's advice? What's input? You could take it or leave it, right? You want to be able to have some input, like I said. Okay, you want to be able to, you know, give, how about I give a list of coaches? You know, you can rank them. Of which ones, you know, you feel would be best upon based on availability and things of that nature. You know, sort of like a wish list. Don't just give me a piece of paper with one name on it. That's not going to fly. Because that's ultimately giving you full autonomy of my organization that I need to be held accountable for. Because look at that. You could just request a trade. You could just sit out. Somebody could just, you know, go tamper, you know, I'm going to call it tampering because that's pretty much what they do, right? They hang out in the off season, all these different things, and, you know, and then all of a sudden they want to play on different teams and different things of that nature. So at the end of the day, it's like, I don't understand what you really expect a Brooklyn Nets organization to do, because right now, this isn't just business. This is bad business. It's bad business. And I don't want anybody, you know, automatically just saying like, oh, so if Steve Nash a bad coach, like, should they just, you know, keep him just because, like, oh, they wanted him, so we should just continue, you know, kind of heading in this bad direction just because we started. That's not at all what I'm implying. I'm just saying I think the organization needs to take a hold of their organization and say to themselves, listen, if we let go of Steve Nash, it's because we want to. It's because we don't see him being the best fit for the future of our organization. Not because you say so. I'm just saying, because now it looks like they're only going, like, if they do fire Steve Nash, it just looks like they're only doing it because Kevin Durant gave you an ultimatum. Like, let's face it. That's what it looks like because that's what it is. And that is just such a bad look. And I definitely feel bad for Steve Nash in all of this because it's kind of like, whoa, like, what the heck? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, still a brand new coach, like, with all these different things going on, and could he have done a better job? Sure. Can he get better? I'm sure he will. But I don't know. I just feel like if Sean Marks, you know, Joe Tsai, you know, all the top dogs in the organization of the Brooklyn Nets should have gotten together and said, you know what, this wasn't working out all that great. You know, if Kyrie wants to leave, let him leave. Let's do whatever we can to please Kevin Durant, you know, besides, you know, giving him full autonomy of our organization and then just leaving whenever he feels like. Because that's pretty much what we did. Like, we let you have full autonomy, and then when things didn't go your way, you just want to leave. Like, that's definitely not how to run a business. I'm sure you can appreciate that. But they should have just said, you know what, we'll get rid of Steve Nash because maybe he just wasn't the right fit. But what if Steve Nash was the right fit? Maybe it just wasn't for, you know, Kyrie and KD. You know, I mean, to have, like, let's say after the pandemic, after all these, you know, all these different things that were pretty much challenging for everybody. But I'm not even saying like that's my opinion. I'm just saying from an organizational standpoint, because they obviously did not want to fire him. They never said that they wanted to fire Steve Nash. They would never at one time was Steve Nash's job in jeopardy after the season, especially when Sean Marks addressed, you know, everybody and pretty much just said they're taking back a hold of their organization. Now, if he decides to oblige Kevin Durant, what was that whole press conference for? How are you going to sit there and tell me that you're taking back hold of your organization by, you know, yielding to Kevin Durant's demands? You know, like you're being held hostage. But yet you just told us like a couple months ago, you know, that you're taking back a hold of your organization. Like, I don't know, guys. This is a whole mess. Shout out to Sam Cassell, because I always wanted to see him have a head coaching job. I think that he would do a great job because he's one of those no-nonsense type of guys. I feel like he's of that same breed as like a Darvin Ham and Lakers organization. You guys got y'all a real one. I hope y'all treat him right. Hope you do right by him. He's definitely championship pedigree. He's been on a lot of winning organizations, and that's by no mistake. But yeah, they need somebody that's not going to be passive. I see Steve Nash more of like a Brad Stevens type, you know, like that college style type coaching, like when it comes to like real stars playing out with that ISO. I think that's probably what the problem is. And then when you have guys like that in and out of the lineup, it's kind of hard to have any chemistry or any cohesiveness to have, like, you know, your rotational guys coming in and out. Starters, who's your starters? Who's playing? I don't know. This one's injured. I don't know. This one's dealing with other things. I'm sorry. that was a whole lot. I hope they figure it out, because God help the Brooklyn Nets organization. It just doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. I know people are going back and forth with whether they should listen to Kevin Durant, don't listen to Kevin Durant. I think they should just make it clear this is not about Kevin Durant. But like I said, after he already made this demand, and if they go ahead and fire Steve Nash, you already know what it is. Or if they don't fire him and Kevin Durant ultimately forces his way out or sits out, he said he's not built like that. But then what are you going to do if they can't trade for you? Because the Brooklyn Nets at this point, I don't think that they're just going to trade anybody for him. Because if that was the case, they would have been did it, right? Or been done it. So at the end of the day, it's like, we're just in more limbo, and we're just going to get more updates on Nets, you know, drama, I guess. I'm sorry, guys. I wish I had more answers, but there just are none. They just have to figure it out for themselves. They have to really evaluate what's more important. You know, what's the right decision? Or are you equipped to make that right decision? You know, what is that right decision? It depends on you. You the fan, you the Brooklyn Nets fan, it really depends on you. Because right now you have to choose between your principles and what you just said not even a couple months ago about how you had taken full autonomy of your organization, right? You had taken back the power and you need guys who are available and yada, yada, yada. Cool, cool. And then you have to choose between, like I said, that or who do you have a chance of winning with? Right? Who do you have a chance of winning with? Kevin Durant or Steve Nash as your coach? I mean, that's a no-brainer. So that, I don't want to be them. I tell you that right now, because everybody sitting from, you know, from their vantage point, it's so easy to sit there and say, oh, what the right decision is. Like, oh, you got to keep Kevin Durant. Some people are like, oh, they better not listen. That is not an easy decision. That's not something that you can just, you know, just wake up and just, yeah, I'm keeping Kevin Durant, you know, or, you know what, Steve Nash, I'm going to keep him just because Kevin Durant ain't in charge. I'm in charge. Like, you, I don't know, man. That's a pretty high horse, you know, to fall from, but I don't know. But you know what? That's my time. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.